Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we're going to do a little audible on the open music because it is such an amazing Friday. Here we go.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
HR, it is Happy Friday. So Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you every day talking about HR. So let's get to our guest. Carrie, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for the great music. I don't know about you, but I was up dancing during the intro. So that's a great way to start.
I will continue dancing while you're talking. So
that doesn't happen too often.
Well, we got to change things up on that then. Well, let's kick it off. Have you introduced yourself to our lovely family of listeners? And we'll get into what's top of mind after that.
Well, sure thing. Well, just to start things off, let me give you my title. We all know that we have to lead with that, right? So I'm the Managing Director for the Compose Division of DecuSoft, and this particular division of DecuSoft really specializes in compensation software solutions focused on simplifying complexity, really. But honestly, my role in the organization is pretty cool. I get to both internally and externally kind of understand individual and organizational goals and really help people by removing obstacles or barriers, in reaching those goals. Again, pretty cool to be an obstacle remover. But we're headquartered in Jersey, so they wouldn't let me put obstacle removal on my business card, if you know what I mean.
Of course, I think we all know. So that's part of the mystique of Jersey in general. So
it is.
Let's jump in. What is top of mind? You woke up this morning and said, "Man, that's top of mind today, and I need to share the love on Drive Through HR to this content."
Well, something that's really top of mind and has been for the last few days are kind of the challenges facing our folks in comp administration, kind of what's keeping us up at night and how are we addressing things. And that's kind of on my, kind of on my mind. And most specifically, the fact that, compensation has changed immensely in 10 years. I mean, it is just hugely modified from the standard days of, kind of a base raise, and merit, kind of merit increases or cost of living increases. But the funny thing is, we haven't changed the way we administer comp very much at all. And, as we talk with people in the marketplace, not only our clients but our future clients and just visionaries out in the market space, what we found is those processes, people and technology, all kind of fall in that category, the fact that we're not advancing administration as much as we would like to.
So why, to go the consulting route here, let's get to what's the root cause for that, or root cause, root, whatever, depending on what part of the country you're from, cause of that?
I think there are a couple primary things there. I think when we look at compensation administration as a whole, we look at people, we look at process, and we look at technology. Well, let's tackle people real quick. From a people perspective, shared services group, our HR comp folks, our HR folks, their teams are still super thin. Shared services, this is not, a new concept at all, but the workload shift has changed dramatically in that comp cycles used to be very traditional. It used to be very fixed in length, and there used to be downtime. There isn't any longer. There is no downtime for our folks. So that kind of keeping our human resources in the comp space really thin kind of keeps things in the status quo. No time to sit back, think, and evaluate. And that's one key point there. Are you all seeing that as well?
Oh, yeah, Carrie, I can see that where you're going. And, in fact, I remembering my intern, which I did with a small company which doesn't have even have a compensation technology system very particularly per se, and they were following just Excel.
Spreadsheet.
So that is the old school though, if you're talking about. But then after that, when I got hired by a leading telecom company, I used SAP, so I know how sophisticated that technology is as well. But yet, what I can say right now is, you know, during the time of promotion or anything in general, HR often has to, what would I say, justify or even answer questions on salary equality, right? So what information is typically shared with employees to let them know or how their compensation are determined?
You know, I'm actually thrilled that you brought up two key points there, the use of spreadsheets, which bodes to employee communication. So since we're trapped in manual processes, oftentimes employee communication is clouded or really vague. So when an employee, let's say at the beginning of the compensation cycle or at the beginning of the year, when expectations are set or potential is communicated, it's often not followed up on in a routine or, let's say, a formal manner. A documented manner. At the end of the cycle, let's take a bonus cycle for instance. We receive that nice bonus in our paycheck, but we're often left to understand, did I actually meet the potential and how was I paid? So what we're seeing is that there's not a huge shift there, but through use of technology, both you know, best of breeds or suited solutions, employee statements that are clear and create clarity are being certainly being sent out to employees. Interestingly enough, though, within our own client base, as well as folks we're speaking with just across industry, and I'm thrilled to say this, most of them will take a core compensation statement or total reward statement and use that opportunity to have a conversation with our team members, with a team member, which is critical. Regardless of what is written down, that key communication and sitting down face-to-face with that employee is a big step in retention. We all want to be relevant. We all want to be cared about. We all want to be heard. And so that communication, again, through use of technology is there. But to your point, we see roughly 50% of companies still utilizing spreadsheets, which means the employee communication link is still broken.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So to our audience, those that are listening to this show, it would be really helpful if you can tell them these are three reasons to invest in compensation technology.
Absolutely. We know, and in fact, it's fairly well documented. I believe it was maybe World at Work 2012, 2013, Evolving Compensation Function. When we invest in technology to manage compensation, we control our costs. We increase productivity, we improve service and response time, we educate people, we enable our managers, we deliver real value at all levels of the organization, and most of all, we increase communication and engagement. I know that's more than three, but those are my big ones. We all really grasp and understand that that is the case. You know, though, I will go ahead and say something really interesting. And being a technology company, you'll gasp when I say this, but technology is not the silver bullet. You know, it really is not by itself the cure. I think that technology is meant, of course, to support people and process, and that we have to align those things back to technology to make it successful. We can have the most amazing systems in place. But if HR and compensation professionals are not empowered to rally the organization and really align with that technology, we still fall flat.
Yeah, that's really the key point. As you said, technology is not the silver point, right? So what do you recommend those HR professionals or compensation professionals should look at in order to identify, yes, this solution fits my needs? How do they identify?
You know, I think our comp folks are faced with unique challenges. And I think when we see people in evaluation, they start with internalizing, you know, buy versus build. Really, that goes back to sustainability. If we're if our HRIS team, our IT team, our shared services are stretched, lack of resources doesn't support a build philosophy. So, again, we kind of, you know, look at that. Then we start to see folks really evaluate, do we look at ERP, HRIS, a suite, or best of breed? And I think when you get there, some really great things happen. You start to really look at the organization and say, what is our current state? Where do we want to be future state? And then you start to look at level of complexity of your compensation plans. How many plans? How many components? How many countries? You start to really look at, will I fit in a box, or will I need to have a system that I can configure to evolve, or do I need some level of customization? So I think that key point is to start to look at and really evaluate levels of complexity within each of those points.
Yeah. Well, as you said to your clients, I want to stress one question that, as you said, more about the countries. So do you interact with global clients when it comes to compensation? Just a question, I'm sorry.
We do.
Sure.
Yes.
So it would be great if you can tell a little bit about what are some of the challenges that you face when it comes to managing global compensation system.
You know, I think there, with every organization and with every country, the uniquenesses fall in compliance largely. So we have cultural issues and challenges that we need to address, which lie in expectation. We also need to address the complexity of governmental compliance or industry compliance, even more so in our international firms. There are, you know, certainly unique concerns, again, by every country. From a systems standpoint, for our administrators, they become not only experts in their organization and compensation, but again, they become experts in communicating those through those complexities down to every level of the organization in every country. We'll go back to statements. You had mentioned that earlier. Things as what become a simple compensation statement can become a little unwieldy if you're trying to do that outside of a solution, where you can capture all compliance, where you can adequately have a checkpoint to ensure that the company, your organization, is really adhering to all of your standards, to all compliance, within a simple statement is huge. We see that, again, implementation of technology there will decrease not only your legal risk, but it will decrease error and increase communication.
Mm-hmm. So what are some communication channels that these organizations are using?
In regard to overall communication or through the admin of all paid
mm-hmm.
processes, again, we're seeing, so let's talk about the cycle itself.
Sure.
Utilizing a simple statement from the beginning of the cycle to the end of the cycle. So, again, we're looking at potential. What is your potential pay? That can be a simple statement that follows that individual throughout their life cycle, and that can have a trigger point. For instance, let's take quarterly, for instance, milestones in which a manager is then prompted to have ongoing communication regarding performance over a period of time, not just an annual performance review, but as it relates directly to pay. So what we encourage our clients to do is utilize some of those trigger points, but also, again, face-to-face, so a combination of email-based communication and also face-to-face communication.
That's great to know, in fact. So to your point, as you said, compliance, so how can HR quickly react to changes that affect compensation, such as, you know, market fluctuation, or if any corporate strategy is getting changed or policies are getting changed, or even any type of compliance issues? What do you think HR should do in order to respond to it quickly?
That's a fairly multifaceted question, and some of which I will tell you I can absolutely answer, and some I'm sure our listeners are much more versed in. But let me tackle from our perspective what we see there. From a compliance standpoint, again, we go back to process, ensuring that those processes are automated and streamlined and particularly technology-based. So you're tracking compliance and you have checks and balances to do so from a corporate level, that there's a clear communication chain developed within your technology solution that allow you to push those compliance changes down to an appropriate level. That may go down, of course, to a frontline manager. It may not. In doing so and then having audit capability of each of those compliance areas, we see as being a standard practice in a way to kind of manage that. I think the difficulty comes when automation is taken out of the mix and we're relying on more of a manual process to even track that.
So just to kind of go, kind of step a little bit outside of today on what we're talking about, let's go, I want to go the innovation route. So 2020, where do we see things change in compensation? It really hasn't changed, and you said that earlier that, you know, we really haven't seen a lot of progression. I mean, what it was is kind of what it is. You have a little better technology maybe to help with that and maybe some data aggregation to help with that. But what's the future look like as far as innovation in the space?
Here's what we're seeing right now, which, you know, there are a lot of varying opinions. But, for instance, you'll see still 90% or better of organizations still have a merit process in place, very similar to, again, how it has been for years. Those percentages of merit increases have remained fairly flat. And unfortunately, as we all know, dependent upon the role of the team member in the organization itself, that is sometimes not very meaningful. So, you know, we've heard a lot about, and we all talk a lot about, performance-based pay. But we are seeing a trend toward, of course, component-based short-term bonus programs that address personal metrics very strongly, as well as, of course, corporate metrics, typically on the financial side, and then team-based metrics, allowing the individual to take more ownership of their destiny and, of course, their pay and their potential. It's difficult to kind of detach ourselves from the mindset of a merit or base pay increase because it's been the standard. But that's one thing I think we will see tremendously move forward. We're also seeing the proliferation of long-term incentive programs at every level of the organization. When we speak to retaining our talent, I think this is huge. When we become invested in an organization at that level, we tend to, you know, act differently. And, again, we're seeing that as a huge trend.
Well,
I would
go ahead.
Now, I would just also say that distribution of technology at every level of the organization as it relates to pay, where, for instance, we see lots of clients, lots of folks in the marketplace who still have a kind of a centralized administration of pay, really, really pushing that down to the frontline managers to administer, and again, gaining control back for your potential and your pay, your performance and your team is huge, and we see that as well, and we think that is extraordinarily critical.
That's great. Well, in fact, I'm not sure if this is a silly question for you, or but it is a valuable question that I wanted to ask to any compensation expert right there. So I'm basically coming from India, and I do have work experience working in the largest telecom industry, managing around 20K employees. So having said that, for us, the payment system was salaried, a monthly payment system. But over here in the United States, I've seen it is weekly paid. So there are changes are there when it comes to, you know, globally, as you are saying. So what do you think is the best strategy, or why do you think organizations desire to go for, okay, biweekly or monthly? What are the decision factors?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and own the fact that I'm probably not the best person to answer that question. I will give you my opinion, certainly. But again, I'm probably not as steeped in that particular practice to give you best thinking. What I will tell you what we are seeing. We are still seeing that, and to your point, that most organizations will maintain the pay philosophies in regard to frequency of the country that they are operating in. Moving away from that can create a certain level of confusion, so to speak, among a pay group or among a team of employees. So we really are seeing that that is static. We also see the need to normalize. And we are seeing a lot of our clients, our global clients, look for ways to normalize in a step fashion. So, again, I can kind of tell you what we're seeing, but certainly not exactly my wheelhouse.
Well, I really appreciate that your takes on that. And going back to one of your previous points, as you said, that some of the challenges that organizations are facing when it comes to distribution of technology or even communicating from manager's perspective or from HR's perspective, because I know when any sort of compensation issues are happening, managers are going to be the first person that needs to answer the questions of a team member, right? And then the next level, they'll definitely come to HR, of course. So what is the best strategy if there is any sort of, mishap or technological error that is happening? What is the best way to deliver bad news to the employees in an organization?
Goodness, I feel as if we should have Brian play I'm Happy Again right now. We don't all want to deliver bad news, do we?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it's more, again, it goes back to internal process. So what we are seeing in the marketplace, what we're seeing among our clients is the creation of, for lack of a better term, a workflow process assigned to delivery of pay information, whether that is direct payout or simply, again, delivering a message to an employee, how do we maintain that chain of communication so that all levels are on the same page. Again, we are kind of seeing this workflow process, if you will. So there's an initiation of that communication, let's say, in a downline from HR. It is tracked through a solution, pushed to the manager, and there are verification and checkpoints in which the communication is made, that it's verified that it has been made, it's documented, and then, again, the reverse of that process, it's submitted back up through the workflow.
Right. So what are some metrics or measurements or that you're listening from your clients? Because I recently talked to one of the HR tech vendor, which happened to have a integrated talent management solution plus their compensation system as well. So they have mentioned their clients are asking some specific metrics in order to identify their compensation system effectiveness. So from your end, what are you listening from your clients? What are some metrics that they particularly come and ask you, hey, we need to identify this. Do you have any solution to provide that?
Just to clarify, so identification of metrics to ensure that the technology solution is working for them?
Yes, and especially the compensation as well, in order to take some strategic decision when it comes to succession planning, or when it comes to, okay, how do we do an equality in the pay system when it comes to identifying experienced professionals are getting a salary that is reasonable to their experience level within the organization.
Okay, so two different takes on that. So from a utilization standpoint, different metrics that will look at pay practices across an organization, there are some very straightforward things that our clients look at almost immediately. One of them you've already alluded to, which is distribution of pay. So distribution of pay, for instance, by performance rating or by the role or level of the employee within an organization helps to create an environment where we can quickly and easily identify inequity. And then, of course, look at the characteristics of inequity to determine if an action needs to be taken. And that's extremely critical. What happens when you're outside of a solution is that those items are very difficult to identify and often identified very late in the process, possibly when we're losing key talent. So that's right off the bat in exceptionally important. Interestingly enough, some of the other metrics that organizations want to take a look at within a solution and have real-time access to has to do with budgeting and then, of course, usage of that budget. I know it sounds very elementary in nature, but again, if the process is decentralized and distributed among many groups, to have a real picture of what's happening from a compensation budgeting standpoint becomes very difficult. And we also know, of course, that our friends in finance want some pretty tough questions answered very regularly. So being able to quickly access centralized data and answer questions for finance and our senior teams is huge. And again, it seems so elementary, but it is a really critical function and something that nearly every group that we speak with, every organization we speak with, must get a handle on.
Cool. So what's the role of big data when it comes to compensation?
That's a big question.
I know.
I'm actually going to go back to something, and it's actually come up in the last week. Data is both our, you know, it is the secret sauce for every organization, and often the bane of our existence. When you think about it, what we see across the board, regardless of size of organization, is that we continually consume and we actually gather immense amounts of data in regard to all HR practices and functions, but specifically compensation. But what we really lack is the ability to aggregate it, access it, and make it meaningful. So again, kind of going back to your question, I think getting back to a process where analytics, and we use that term so readily, don't we, all of us, that we have the ability to really analyze that data, understand what it means, and actually gain access to it. It goes back, though, to being able as a team, a compensation team, an HR team, to rally the organization and decide unilaterally how will we use data? What are our key care abouts? Can we nail them down to 3 or 4? And we see the biggest success when we see an organization put a process into place that first gets them focused on outcome and then back into data.
Well, that is absolutely, I've learned probably more in this show about compensation than in the last 10 years. So thank you for that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it later today, but damn it, I have got a pretty good grasp on a lot of dimensions of comp. So thank you so much. So we're almost out of time. Where can folks, if they want to continue the conversation or connect with you, can they go to make that connection?
Well, they can certainly always reach out via web at decusoft.com. And, of course, my email address is really complex. It is myfirstname.lastname, K-A-R-I-E, .johnson@decusoft.com.
Well, that is perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nietzsche. Have a wonderful Friday. William, I hope you make it back to the country. And, folks, we're out of here. Have a blow it up.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to